frowns all over their faces because life just stinks. But the reality is our thinking stinks on how we're thinking about life and what we perceive and what we see. You ever seen a man with no legs walk? It can be done. I've seen it. Expect and dream for the impossible things. My word says I can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives me strength. Pastor Weldon last week said, I'm bringing a message, keeping it real. Today, in the same light, I want to say, let's keep it real. Let's keep it real. How many times do you have to motivate yourself to just get up and do something because you got up and went? I just don't feel like doing anything, or I hurt all over and I can't do something. False motivation, my friends, is better than no motivation whatsoever. We have to make a decision. So I heard it this way. Sometimes you have to take that leap and pray that your wings grow on the way down instead of waiting for your wings to already be there. God has created us in a way, in a type, where we have, you know, there is no creation on earth other than human beings that is looking for adrenaline, that is going out there and saying, you know what, I'm going to jump out of an airplane, or for that matter, create an airplane. Nobody. Lions and tigers and bears, oh my, none of them. They worry about food and sleeping, and that's it. All right? And making the next generation. But we have been given a gift as stewards of this creation to live life and take care of what God has given us down here. But too often, we just watch it pass us by day in and day out, left and right. It's just, it's there and then it's gone. Too often, people come to church and the message becomes a performance. When that happens, church, then this sanctuary becomes a theater, and that's not what it's for. And then the congregation becomes an audience. Say, I want to be an active participator. Okay, don't say it. Say, I want to be an active participator. Listen, I would much rather you say good instruction rather than good message to me. Because messages don't change lives all the time, but when you get the instruction and you apply it, that's when lives start to change. Your Bible is the instruction book. There's a lot of writing in there, but I don't open it up and say, wow, it's filled with a whole lot of good messages. I say, wow, it is filled with a lot of good instruction. Amen. And it has told me how I need to live. And it told me that I need to live more than a conqueror. Over what? Over everything that comes against me in the name of Jesus Christ. That's all of us. Every single one is going through something, which is every single one of us, right? Needs to understand, I'm more than a conqueror, not through my own actions, but because of Jesus Christ. And with Jesus and me, I can now do all things. That's a pretty cool winning situation, I think. Right? I like it. The audience. If you come to church on Sunday and you are just the audience, do you know what an audience is? Audience are spectators. And spectators watch life go by. They don't live life. You ever go to a football game or a basketball game, baseball game, and you're in the stands, and you're cheering in the stands, but you're not playing the game. God has put us on earth, and all of us have a game to play. He's put every one of us in the game. We all have the jersey, and every single one of us are qualified to play in this game. Every single one of us have been picked and chosen. Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you're chosen. You're on the team. And I don't want you sitting on the bench. I want you up. And I want you being an active participant in this life that I've given you. Because there is a power and principality of darkness that is coming against my children. And I want you to stand up and be victorious over it. I've already won the battle. You just need to fight. Fight and don't give up. You ever seen somebody with no hands hold something? You see, we set our mind to a place where we see something, we go, it's an impossibility for someone with no hands to hold something. But I bet if they're speaking words of love, they're going to hold your attention. You see, you can hold things without hands. You can walk without legs. You can hug without arms. If you know how much I love you, my wife, I don't have to come up and just put my arms around. She knows that I can hug her with my heart and my heart alone. When we stop limiting ourselves, our lives become much more exciting. When our lives become exciting, people out there in the world will try and figure out, what is it that you have that I don't have? And you say, I have a Lord and Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. And he told me that I'm special. Matter of fact, he called me a peculiar person, right? He even called me a priest and a king. You see, I got a relationship with this guy. His name's God. And he's so spectacular and special that he calls me his child. Matter of fact, I'm his son. And he gave me an inheritance. And that means that in this life down here, I don't care what it is that you got, I've got it too. What do you mean you've got it too? I don't see the Lamborghini. I don't care. But I'm calling those things that be not as though they are because I have the power of God in me to do so. You see, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep pushing. I'm going to keep going. And I'm going to remind myself and talk to myself every day like this if I have to, so that I can do what? Preach myself happy. Because life down here, as we know, is short. And we have an eternal existence. But God did not put his creation down here to just exist and not have a purpose in life. He wants you to enjoy this life. He wants you to be a part of the team out on the court. He wants you to join in the dance and not just watch it. There's a saying that says, all men die, but few ever really live. Take a vacation. I don't have time for it. Time isn't going to stand still. You make time for it. Go visit a family member. I don't know, I got unforgiveness towards them, and last time I went, it didn't work out right. Well, guess what? Until somebody makes the first step, it's never going to happen. Quit beating yourself up. And maybe you're not. I'm just speaking in general over things that have happened in the past. John 10:10 says that the thief come to steal. He came in order. Matter of fact, it says he came only in order. In other words, the devil, the only purpose the devil came was to steal, kill, and destroy your life as a believer. Satan is a deceiver. He is a master manipulator. He will speak doubt to you until you doubt everything. But in that same scripture verse, John 10:10, it says, but I, Jesus the shepherd, came to give you life and life more abundantly. So why? So that your life can't be stolen from you. So that your life cannot be killed in this world here. Anybody ever had a dream? Like a life goal? And all of a sudden it got stomped on? It got killed? That's a lie from Satan. He's a dream killer. He's a goal killer. He's a goal defeater. But he wants us to have much more than that. Jesus does. Acts 17:26 through 28, and the message says, starting from scratch, he made the entire human race, this is God, and he made the earth hospitable with plenty of time and space for living. Not plenty of time and space for existing, but plenty of time and space for living. So we could seek after God and not just grope around in the dark, but actually find him. He doesn't play hide and seek with us. He's not remote, but God is near. In verse 28, here it is. We live and move in him. The Passion Translation says it this way, that we live and function and have our identity in him. So if you, a believer, know that your identity is in Christ Jesus, know that, and when you move through life, it is in Christ Jesus. that as you function in life, it is with Christ Jesus. How can Satan steal it from you? But when we don't know this is how we move and live, then it's easy for him to come in and steal it away, destroy the very makeup. You ever seen somebody that was absolutely on fire for God? And they were praying, and their prayers were getting answered one after another, one after another, one after another. They're coming to church. They're involved in everything. And then all of a sudden, they had no more need. And all of a sudden, they just kind of started to fall back on the wayside because everything they were asking, they had. And then all of a sudden, God kind of took the back seat. And next thing they know, because they forgot that they live and move in Him, because they forgot they live and move in Him, Satan creeps in and started to steal everything that they had right away from them. You guys know what I'm talking about? Anybody been in church long enough to see this happen? Next thing you know, 6 months later, the guy that pulled away from church starts coming back again because he come to his senses and he went, oh my gosh, for 6 months, things have been being taken from me by Satan and now I need to get them back. And we call it yo-yo Christianity. It's because we forget where we came from. We forget that God loved us first before we even knew about Him. When we get our mind right with what God's done for us and what He's given us through the Holy Spirit and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, oh my gosh, it changes your life and the way you look at things. And so it goes on to say, it says, we can't get away from Him. And one of your poets said it well. We're the God created. Everybody say, I'm God's creation. And He loves me. I'm going to start dancing again with Him. Give me a minute. You know, I think sometimes we take life too seriously and we really need to just slow down and in the middle of situations, just say, you know what, I need a second and just start dancing with God. Amen. You know, yeah. Just kind of like, you know, what are you doing right now? I'm dancing with God. What do you think? You know, people might think you're strange, but your life would be a whole lot better off. You know, you see, doing the hard thing has risk. But did you know when you do the hard thing, the benefits outweigh the risk? Right? There was a Navy SEAL that did a study one time, and he was saying that when we hit our physical maximum peak, I can't go any further. We've only hit 30% of our full potential physically. There's 70% of our physical potential we haven't even hit yet, but our mind says, I can't go no more. When's the last time you walked 10 miles just for the fun? Let me tell you what. This is what I would give you instruction on today. If there's something in your life that you are saying that I physically can't do it, I would challenge you to find a way around it and do it. And see what starts to happen in your life. I can't walk 10 miles, but I bet you can walk 10 steps. Now, if a guy with no legs can walk, or a guy with no hands can hold something, or somebody with no arms can hug, then I'm sure that we can do something that we put our minds to as well, right? Doesn't it say we're supposed to be transforming this mind? And it says when we transform this mind, we can do these things with Christ, right? Didn't say some things, it said all things. But we limit ourselves. There was a survey of 100 seniors, elderly people. And in the survey of these seniors, they were asked what they regretted. And they didn't talk about regretting things that they had done. They were talking about regretting the things that they had not done. In this life, we shouldn't go to the grave. I know we have eternal life, but down here, if we're not going out and experiencing new things and meeting new people, how are we getting the word out that we're Christian and Jesus is Savior? Have you ever met anyone that longed for rejection? Have you ever met anybody who just says, man, I just can't wait till I'm rejected? Me neither. But did you know rejection is the one thing that keeps us from moving and doing what would be beneficial for us? I'm not going to start a business because it might fail. Not that it will fail, just the mindset that says it might fail stops you from doing something. It's not even a guarantee that it's going to fail. But boy, it would take a lot of effort to make it succeed. But what happens if it does succeed? What happens if it really, really takes place and you can be a major blessing as a business owner? I'm not going to go back to school. I'm too old to go back to school. But what happens when you do go back to school and all of a sudden the confidence that you lacked now soars through the ceiling and you're a new person and you're changed completely from the inside out because you're now tackling things that you once thought you couldn't do or were an impossibility. Now you're seeing the possibilities of the impossible take place before your very eyes. Fear of rejection is the one thing that keeps people sitting on the sideline, watching the game instead of playing it, watching the dance instead of being part of it. But we're made for acceptance. Did you know that? We're made for acceptance. But Satan is the rejection specialist. And he throws everything at us so that we will think of how desolate or lowly or not good enough or worthless we are. In the reality, Jesus Christ came so that we did not receive the ministry of condemnation. Is that right? Yeah. Romans 8:1. But Jesus Christ came so that we have this life and that we have a right relationship with His Father, not based on anything we do, because He wants us accepted. He accepts us. Rejection shuts down our freedom to live. I want us to meditate on these things. John 15:16, just the first sentence of it, Jesus says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." And I stated this a few months ago. That means He wants you. Jesus wants you. So in all the different things that are taking place in life that are saying, "I can't," He is saying the entire time, "Yes, you can. Yes, you can." You know, Deuteronomy 30:19 says that before heaven and earth, some things were laid out for us. Choices to choose good or bad, blessings or curses, to choose life or death, basically. And so we battle with this all day long. Am I going to choose to live today, or am I going to choose something that brings death? Am I going to choose something that brings a blessing today, or am I going to choose something that brings a curse to me today? Every single day we have these laid out before us. There's a song, I don't know the name of the song, but it came out, and one of the verses in that song says that every choice is a call to war. Meaning every decision that we make is an opportunity and a chance to fight. To fight for what would be beneficial for us in our lives. And what happens is many times we don't put it to a prayerful thought and we choose things based on it just being good but not being the right thing. I was talking to an individual this week, and as we were talking and going through some things, we were hashing out some work schedules. And it come to find out that the work schedule this person had, about 50% of what they were doing equated to about 5% of their pay. It was a good thing that they were doing, but it wasn't the right thing. We have to self-evaluate what's going on in our life and determine whether or not is just sitting by watching what's going on conducive to me living a good life. To me living a beneficial, abundant life. Bountiful. Bountiful is bountiful and beneficial mixed. just throwing that out there. I make up words. I like that word. Beneful. That's a dog food. I guess I can't patent that or copyright that, right? Yeah. Married with kids? Married with kids? Raise your hands. Married with kids. Good thing and right thing. Good thing and right thing. Let me encourage you with something. If you are married and you have children and you've told them that the stove is hot, you need to quit telling them over and over that the stove is hot and start telling your spouse that they're hot. Let me explain what I'm saying. I'm 46 years old right now. My wife's 44. Our kids are out of the house. They're in college. One's graduated college. They're adults. My wife and I are not statistics because we invested in one another. So it could be very, very good to reign over your children all day long, every day until they're out of the house. That could be really good because you're protecting them as a parent. But if you neglect the right thing of building the relationship of the spouse that's going to be with you after those kids leave, you're missing out. So it is a good thing to raise your kids, but don't miss out on the right thing. That is to raise your kids and your relationship with your spouse together at the same time. So quit telling them the stove is hot and start telling your spouse they're hot. Amen? There'll be a whole lot of hots going out there today on tweets and Facebook and everything else. There's a thing called effortless fun and a thing called effortful fun. Effortful fun. Let me give you definitions here or examples. Effortful fun would be making plans with someone else, like a real person, going out on a date, or having people over to your house, or going to a party, or to the movies. What I'm getting at is effortful fun means you have to put effort into it, full of effort, to make these plans happen. Effortless. So let's say Steph and I. We make plans. Effortful fun. We make plans to go out on a date. I'm working all day. She's working all day. It's already tiresome because we're working. Next thing you know, we got to go home. And what we wore to work's not appropriate, so we got to change. But we're going to keep this timeline. And we're going to make it out to eat. And we're going to eat. And we're actually going to make it so that we talk to one another. So we put the cell phones away and turn them off and all that good stuff. And we actually make eye contact with one another. This takes effort, guys. All right? And then we go to the movies, but while we're in the movies, I know we can't talk because we'll interrupt people, but we hold hands the entire time because we love each other, but we're putting effort into it. And then at the end of the day, we come home, we kiss, good night, sleep, right? Beautiful. But it was full of effort to make this happen. Effortless fun. This is the other token, the other coin. Be stepping on some toes here today. Instead of making plans to go out and do something with somebody, you pick up your phone or you go to your laptop and you look on Facebook. And you see what her and I posted because we actually went out and did it. And you live your life through what we did on Facebook. It doesn't take any effort at all. I don't have to plan nothing and I can instant message friends and do all kinds of stuff. And I tell you what, I have a bunch of people on Facebook I have as friends. I never met them a day in my life. They're not friends. We're friendly, but they're not friends. Friendship is built through relationship, and relationship is effortful fun. It takes effort. Now listen, if I can look on Facebook and see who went out and did all kinds of cool stuff, I'm relaxing. And you might be saying, well, Pastor Mike, that's how I relax. Well, you can do that every day of your life, and you're missing out on some really good memories. You're missing out on living a healthier life. You're missing out on living life. You're living through someone else. It's like the high school football hero that all of a sudden had a son. And because you're no longer a high school football hero anymore, Dad, you're living vicariously through your son. Come on, boy, you can join football team and get in there. I did it. I know what I'm talking about because I'm kind of doing that with my daughter in the military. It was good. You can do it. But we have to quit living through other people and live our lives. Let's say that about a revelation. I have a revelation about the Word of God, but it's mine. Until you get that revelation yourself. You've got to make every revelation your own. So hopefully you understand God doesn't want you just sitting by idly watching life pass. He wants you an active participant. That's why he sent them out two by two. Talk about thinking you can't do something. Last week, Pastor Weldon talked about Paul and Silas, Acts 16, verse 22 and on. Paul and Silas were performing miracles, and they were beaten because they were doing things that the others didn't want. Beaten, put into shackles, put into the center of the prison, and at midnight they start praying and singing aloud, and all of a sudden, I'm here to tell you something. I bet with shackles on their feet and being beaten with rods, they probably didn't feel like singing, but they pushed through. They pushed through what was going on in their current circumstance. And when they pushed through, the gates broke open. And they were freed the very next day. And vindicated. And vindicated. Beautiful stuff. Say, I want to do effortful fun. Doesn't sound like you had any effort saying that. I used to watch people dance the night away. I remember like high school, becoming an adult, going to weddings, different parties, things like that. And I remember just sitting there. You know, yeah, you guys know. You guys were in high school probably, right? Where's my GED people? No, I'm just kidding. No show of hands. No. Proud of it. Yeah. No. Just sitting there, you know, school dance, feeling kind of awkward. You know, never once as I watched the dance take place, never once did I look at them going, oh my gosh, look at them. Oh, I can't believe they're making idiots out of themselves. I never once thought that. You know what I thought? Be real transparent and open with you. I thought, wow, I wish I had that much courage to get out there and do that too. I was envious of the people that were out on the dance floor having a good time while I sat drinking ice water with nobody to talk to because everybody was on the dance floor. Nowadays, instead of that, they pull their cell phone out and they look at everybody having a good time on Facebook while they let life pass them by. I hope you understand what I'm getting at today. Life is short, guys. And I know that we have an eternal purpose, but we have a purpose down here too. We cannot allow medical issues, mental issues, physical issues to keep us from living life. We need to pray through it. What is that acronym? PUSH. Pray until something happens. Motivate yourself. Get out. Baby steps, but make the step. Pray for the wings to grow as you're flying down or falling down. One or the other. So I close with this statement. So 12 years ago, I learned who I am in Christ. And 12 years ago, I got off the sideline and started to dance. My encouragement today is that you're never too old to start. Never too old to start. Amen? All right, keeping it real. God bless you. Stand on your feet. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that we are not going through life alone. I thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ. I thank you, Lord, that you have impressed upon us your love, and that, Lord, you have given us a way to break out of bondages in our life and to live a life that is full and vibrant. Father, we glorify you on this day. And Lord, I know that you are a miracle-performing God. Father, I just thank you right now for all those who have come in with a need, that, Father, they will leave filled and full of miracles from you. Father, your word says we have not because we ask not. So, Father, I ask that your will be done. Lord, I lift up anyone listening or here today that has fallen away from you. And I pray in Jesus' name that they would come to know you, Jesus, as Lord and Savior of their lives. Father, we give you all the glory, for you forgive and make all new who come to you. So, Father, bless those who come to you. Father, bless the body of Christ. And we just thank you for this day and this week to come in Jesus Christ's glorious name. Amen. God bless you.